Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Your name, oh God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You know, as we were singing that song about freedom and chains being on the floor, and you know, the key to that, the key to living in that kind of freedom, I really felt like the Lord was speaking to me. The key to that kind of freedom is truly understanding and grasping the love that God has for each and every one of us. That's the key. If you don't understand the kind of love that he has for you, if you have not experienced that kind of love that he has for you, then you'll never experience the freedom that he has for you. And so I want to pray for that. Most of us, me included, most of us need a revelation and a true understanding of that kind of love that he has for us. We have filters, and we filter his love through those filters. And those filters are broken. They're wrong. We need to understand and grasp the love that he has for us. So, Father, I am praying for that today. Lord, I am praying for us as your children. Father, that you would bring an understanding and fresh, anointed revelation of the love that you have for us. Father, many of us in this room, we have a taste, but we have not been able to fully embrace the love that you have for us. And so I pray, Father, that you would bring revelation, understanding. I pray, Father, that you would remove the filters that we're using, that you would open our eyes to a true understanding of the love that you have for us. And in that, Father, in that comes the freedom that you've promised us. In that comes the freedom that we can walk in, and those chains could be laid down at our feet, and we can walk in a great freedom that we've never, ever experienced before. So, Father, I pray for that now. And I pray, God, even this week, God, that we would walk and a greater understanding of that love that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
How's it going, church? All right. Well, happy Memorial Weekend. How about we say a prayer, and just for all of the families and those that have sacrificed their lives for us to experience freedom. You know, I was, just before we pray, I was just this weekend thinking about a lot of other countries and third world countries and countries just continue to struggle. And one of our family members, we were kind of talking about this. And I used to feel guilty about sometimes being so prosperous, even in the simplicity of how I've lived from the time that I, you know, graduated high school, even when I was working at Pizza Hut, making, you know, $4 an hour and, you know, living with cardboard for furniture. I was still so blessed. And even now, you know, the things that we have cars and all these things. And I used to feel guilty that other people didn't have these things, or sometimes feel guilty that I would prosper. But it's because of our freedom and because of what Christ did in those that founded our nation that we get to collaborate together and keep what we've earned and continue to move forward, that we're blessed. Anybody in the entire world could live the way that we live if they chose to. They have the same resources, and we're so blessed that we have had a foundation laid for us, and
those that have laid their lives down to protect that foundation for us so that we can continue to work hard and get what we have and keep what we have and pursue happiness and pass it on to our children and teach them how to live on the same values. Isn't that a huge blessing? So, man, get a constitution. I have a pocket constitution. Read it. Understand what the Constitution says. Study it and embrace it. And thank God that we have such an amazing document that truly rules our country and no king, right? All these king-type livings and communism and the other type things, they take everything away from you. They have these cyclical patterns of just destroying themselves over and over again. And we haven't had that for a couple hundred years. And that's why we're prospering so greatly, you know, God being able to move through that. We're the most giving nation that's ever existed on the planet. It's an awesome opportunity. So let's pray and thank God for those that gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have freedom. Father, thank you that you put it in the hearts of brave men and women to trade their lives so that we could still have freedom. They had the vision to see that their children and grandchildren would have a desire and the vision and the heart to sacrifice to see that we could still have freedom. And we pray that we would have the courage to carry that that same torch on and on for generations and generations to come. We thank you for our freedom, and we thank you for those that have sacrificed so that we may have it. And we honor them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And just for a side note, any of you who have served in active military, I know it's not Veterans Day today, but I just want to say thank you. And we honor you as well. And we know that you risked your life, even if you're still alive. And we're thankful for that. But you were willing to risk your life for us, too. And we honor that today. Okay, praise the Lord. All right, so hey, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we'll get started here. We've been in a series called Living Set Free out of Galatians. We have a few more messages left. We're gonna get going here in chapter 5. This is where, Galatians has been great, but this is my favorite part of the book of Galatians, is the last two chapters. So let's start here, verse 1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. If you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God. I'm just going to say that one more time. It certainly isn't God. Sometimes we think of a lot of reasons why we get off track, but it certainly isn't God, for he's the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast which spreads through the whole batch of dough. I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. Verse 13, moving on. Disgusting. For you have been called to live in freedom. You have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your own sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love, For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out! Beware of destroying one another. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's so good. It's so good. It's so rich. It's so deep. It is food to our souls. God, we're asking today you would feed us by your word. God, we're asking, God, that you would renew our strength today. God, stir us up from within. God, cause us to live set free. God, cause us to stay set free in our minds. God, in our hearts, we choose you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So, the last few weeks, we've really, in the chapters, we've really been talking a lot about that and proving, you know, and the jigging out of Galatians, that Galatians and the Bible itself proves to us that we are truly set free by the power of Christ. And there is nothing else for us to do. And there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus. And it is in freedom, and that we're pursuing freedom. We're not pursuing bondage. And it's crazy to go pursue bondage and go back into bondage. And then also that it's done, not do, right? The grace message and understanding the true gospel is that Christ did it for us. It's not something we have to do. And that also we are children of the promise, not the law. Okay, we're children of the promise of Abraham, not children of the law. The law was only a guardian to come alongside us, to help us and instruct us. And then when Christ came, he fulfilled the promise and everything in the law. And now we get to live in the promise. Amen? Which is God's rest and his kingdom come into our life and into our heart. And then Pastor Mark preached last week, which is a phenomenal message, one of the best messages I've ever heard in my life, actually, right here at Abba Loop Community Church. Don't miss it. Get the DVD, CD. I don't know if we have DVDs, but we have CDs. And you need to get that message. It was so good. But I'm just going to sum up the one portion of it that was very impacting to me, and it's just that our hearts are crying out for a relationship with Abba Father, not laws and rules and regulations. You can't have a relationship with laws. But you can have a relationship with a living God. Amen? How awesome. How awesome is that? The next three messages, this message and the two after, we're going to wrap up this series in Galatians, are going to be truly about how do we now live set free? So how do we live, now that we know we are set free, how do we live set free? Because sometimes we get confused about that, don't we? It gets confusing. We go, it's the balance and the tension between the law and grace. No. It can't be. These are opposite things. These are opposing forces. They cannot be a balance. No, the law was finished. When Jesus on the cross, he said, it is finished. It's over. It's done. Completed. And now we get to live in the rest of God, right? In the peace of God and truly in his kingdom fulfilled through the work of Christ. So in this last three messages, we really want to really focus on how do we now live set free. So we go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 here, and it says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now, make sure that you stay free. And don't get tied back up into the slavery of the law. Make sure that you stay free. How in the world do I get unfree? If I'm already free. So let's just think about this. Sin and all these things piled up against me is what put me in prison. Is what put me in bondage. But then Jesus came and he paid the price for all of that permanently forever. So now when I believe in Jesus, which in John 6 says is the only word, Jesus said, is the only thing he requires of us is to believe in him. When we do that, now we get the benefits of all the freedom which Christ purchased for us. So we are free. Totally free. No longer in prison and in bondage to sin or the punishment of the law, which exposes our sin, right? no longer. So then how in the world, if Paul is saying, stay free, how in the world can I get unfree if Christ's work is permanent? And, you know, Pastor Frank, he coming up here and kind of sharing, he didn't really even know what I was going to be speaking about today, but I believe the Lord's using him as, this is in your head. The only way you get yourself unfree or back into bondage is if you get confused. And you go back into prison for no reason. You just choose to go back in, right? So in Acts 12, let's just kind of lay a groundwork here. In Acts 12, we see Peter. He gets thrown into prison by Herod because Herod's just freaking out. And he's just chucking everybody in prison and trying to kill all kinds of people. And so Herod, you know, saw that when he put James in prison, how much it pleased the Jews. And then he throws Peter into prison as well. And intending to bring Peter out for public trial, this is chapter 12, verse 5 now. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed earnestly for him. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep and fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel from the Lord stood before Peter, and the angel struck him on the side, said, "Get up, Joker, it's time to go," right? And then the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals," and he did. Smart man. "Now, put on your coat and follow me. We don't want naked apostles running in the streets." So Peter left the cell following the angel, but all of the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize that it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and they opened it opened by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left in verse 11. Then Peter finally came to his senses, and he says, "It's really true. I'm free. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from the Jewish leaders what they had planned to do to me." When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where they were gathered for prayer, and he knocked on the door. And then a servant girl named Rhoda comes up and opens it. When she recognizes Peter's voice, she was overjoyed, and instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everybody, "Peter's standing at the door." And then they don't believe him. And then they all finally come back, and there's Peter, and they all rejoice. Listen, if Peter, I want us to just think about our life in Christ like the angel came and rescued Peter here. Can we just draw a parallel there? I'm not saying there is one. I'm just saying, can you just use this as good imagery for you to understand that, like, when God does something for you, Peter did nothing for himself to get himself out of prison. And contrary to how a lot of people believe, those people that were praying for him were praying for Peter. God decided to unshackle him and get him out. It wasn't because they prayed for him. It was good that they prayed for him. But God just decided, "I'm not done with Peter and I'm doing a miracle here. There's a lot of cool stuff I got to do right now. This is going to be awesome." Because he's like that. And when he decides to do that kind of cool stuff, it's awesome, but it's up to him. It wasn't because of their works that he got set free. We'll get there later, but I'm just wanting to make sure we don't get confused. But in our life, when Jesus comes into our life by the grace of God and just liberates us and the chains just fall off and he hits us on the side, he says, "Get up, dude, run out. This is going to be awesome. Don't walk back in." Peter would have been a fool when the angel comes out and he goes, "I'm free," to just all of a sudden go, "Well, I just think I better go back in there and shackle myself up and sit next to those guards." That would have been weird. Right? Raise your hand if you would have done that. Okay. Nobody. No. That would be so weird. You're free, so stay free. Stay free. Stay free. There are things that you can do to re-imprison yourself. And it's probably different things than you think. I'm going to tell you it is. It's in here. It's in between your ears. It's what, like Pastor Frank said, it's what you really understand about God. That his love is what has liberated you and set you free. Not what you have done. And there's nothing you can do to get yourself unfree or to take away your freedom card. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can put yourself and re-imprison yourself, but you're only there because you choose to be. You don't have to be. Any second, you can walk out. That's good news, right? Okay, so I need 4 volunteers to be my prison. Come, 4 volunteers. I have these 3 right here. Joni, I already picked you. You didn't know it. You get to be sinful nature. I'm going to put on your back.
Oh, great.
Praise the Lord. Poor Mark, sinful nature, and Linda. The beautiful Linda Drake is human effort. You get to make God happy. And you are the loss. All right. So if you guys could just hold hands and make a square. You're my prison. There we go. And you get to be first. You turn this way. There you go. Flex your back so it looks really wide and awesome. There you go. Yeah. I'm just trying to help you. It's not for anybody else. Okay. All right. The V. All right, so one of the ways that we re-imprison ourselves is by the law. And in the new covenant, you know what we want to do? Is a lot of times we don't go back and like, man, I really want to do all these sacrifices and kill birds and doves and slay lambs. And nobody wants to do that. That's really gross. It's gross, right? But so many times we read the New Testament with the wrong lens and we're looking for more rules to apply to ourselves, because, you know, there's a lot of people when they get into prison for long periods of time, when they come out, they don't know what to do because they've lost all their sense of security and what they know. And they'll cause petty crimes, commit petty crimes to go right back in so they feel safe again. And it's all they know. And so for us, we're coming out of prison like Peter coming out of prison. And we need to learn how to live set free and not desire to just go make a bunch more rules and laws, New Testament laws. There's only one. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law of love is it. Nothing else. So we want to make all these laws so we can like, I've got to get back in here so I feel safe again. I like it in here. But the problem is those laws put me in bondage. And now they limit me. And like Pastor Mark says all the time, I'm going to spit all over your face. I better get out. What?
That's not what I
You're in the Gallagher zone. You need Bisqueen, right? When I stay in here, I'll go right in here. Ooh. I've been working on my love handles a little thinner.
Yeah,
kind of
there
nice. When the law will never produce as much as grace. Never. It will always underperform. The grace of God will always outperform what the law could do, because the law constricts us. And when I decide I'm not going to read the new covenant for laws anymore, I'm going to read it for relationship. I can't have relationship with this. I need to be set free. And so I go, I don't have to live in here anymore. Okay, God, I'm going to come out. I'm just coming out. I've already got my free little meal ticket, get out of jail free card, right? I just get to get out. When you're playing Monopoly and you get to go to jail, but you have to get out of jail free card, you're kind of like, sweet. Pop that sucker down. Listen, you have a permanent one. You never have to go back to laws. Now, laws are really important to understand, is that laws are systems of rules that have particular a country or a community they establish, and they regulate our actions. And as members, they may be enforced by, you know, and put onto people with penalties. So to have a law, it needs to be associated with a penalty or a punishment. And we want this, but you can't find it in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, I mean. In your New Covenant relationship with Jesus, you can't find punishment, because he is punishment for our sin. He took it for him. So you can't find a law that has punishment for you. It's not in there because he took it for you. Come on, church, that's good. That's good. That's really good. So if Jesus took all punishment and laws need punishment so they can exist, there can't be laws in the new covenant. It's that simple. Isn't that good news? Praise God. If you feel like you've got these rules and regulations that are constraining you, if you don't do them, you're going to get punished by God. If I don't give, I'm going to be punished. If I don't love this person, I'm going to be punished. So you get punished in the law for what you do and what you do not do. You do not pay taxes. They come after you. You do not remove your car from like the parking place when the meter is like run out. They take your car away after they give you a giant bill. You do harm somebody, you do get punished for it, right? This isn't the way the new covenant it works. Pastor Mark's going to preach this, and I'm not going to preach it for him next week, that talking about you reap what you sow. God will not be mocked. That when you do bad stuff, you get bad stuff. But punishment is on Jesus. Come on. So it's all about what do you want in your life? Do you want to live in the kingdom and all of its rewards, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, and all the things that come from the life of Christ moving through us? Or do you want to live a life that has all kinds of destruction and bitterness and hatred and maybe, you know, the consequences of significant, serious sin, sexual immorality, and all the things that it causes, that, you know, dysfunctions it causes in our life and divisions it causes in our life? Do you want that? Or do you want to live in the constrictions of the law because it makes you feel safe or it makes you feel good? Come on now. Hey, Pastor, you're preaching now, right? All right. The other place that we look at this is, let's rotate our prison. Is we want, sometimes we feel like we need, oh, hey, your sin can't come off here.
I know you too.
She's set free, man. She's like it's like water on a duck's back. See this? She's the only one truly set free. Are you guys all need to get saved, right? Let's pray. Another way that we re-imprison ourselves is by trying, and this is kind of another way to talk about laws, really, is trying to make God happy. We feel like sometimes we have to try to make God happy. But we look here in chapter 5, verse 7, you are running the race so well. Who has held you back? Another version says, who's cut in on you in the race and cut you off and sent you down another trail and held you back from the following truth? It certainly isn't God, for he's the one who called you to freedom. How does God feel about you? He set you free. He's permanently, forever happy with you. You can't change that. So why do you think you have to work to make God happy? When you do that, you take yourself and put yourself back into these constrictions and this prison, and it's bondage to you, and it's not how God wants you and I to live. He doesn't want us to live in here, and we re-imprison ourselves, feeling like we have to make God happy. I just got to do these things, or God is not going to be pleased with me. He's going to be so unhappy with me, and I hate my life. Please, God, make me happy. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. God! Somebody needs to burn that song. Okay. You don't have to do anything to make God be happy with man. You're going to get in trouble, Linda. I'm going to stick it to your hair next time. It's not true. I would never do that to you. Yeah, just got, she's married to Mark Dre. Just hears this freedom message all the time. You know, I think this is difficult for us. I think many of us, and I just want to take a moment to just think about this, is that many of us probably think, oh, that sounds really, really good. And, oh, I want to believe that. Oh, I so desperately want to believe that. And some of you might just be all like, I do believe that. Thank God. I know he's happy with me. But some of you might just be hoping and go, I really hope Pastor's right about that. I am right about this. Yeah, I'm going to tape it all the way up. Shh. Some of you are just hoping and just hanging by a thread to just hope that this is really true, that God really has set you free and he's truly happy with you. I just want to take a moment. Will you say this with me? God, you're happy with me. God, you are happy with me. It's nothing I've done. You're happy with me. Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking that you will help us believe this. Renew our mind. Take us out of a prison we created for ourselves and set us free in the name of Jesus. We know. Help us to believe what we know in our heads is right, that you truly are happy with us, and heal the scars and wounds from our fathers and mothers and authority figures that have damaged our perception and perspective of who you are. Heal us now. Come on, if that's you, say, Jesus, heal me now. Renew my mind. Set me free. I want to believe you're happy with me. I want to know it from my core. Thank you, God. So let's rotate our circle, and I'm going to take you up, Linda. You are going to be human effort. By my best human effort, you're going to be human effort in the name of Jesus, shoulder to shoulder. Sucker better stay on there. Yep, he's going on my... Now, I'm treading on water lightly here in our charismatic church. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Stepping through a minefield. So please love me when we're done, because the law is love, okay? You got to love me. The Lord said you had to. All right. We can re-imprison ourselves through human effort. Human effort. Probably one of the sneakiest ways that we put ourselves, I'm falling over, I don't know how that was happening, that we re-imprison ourselves is just through human effort. And let me just give you a list of some things. Oh, I just need to try harder, to do better, to read my Bible more, to pray more, to worship more, to dance for Jesus more, wave my flag just the right way. That's why I'm not a flag waver. This is my favorite move. Took me weeks to perfect that, baby. Oh, to wave my flag just in the right way, to pray it just the right, in just the right position, for just the right amount of time. There it is. I did it. Right? To march around this or march around that this many times or that many times in just the right way. Now listen, I'm not saying you can't do these things and it's wrong to do these things. And nor will I make fun of you for doing them, except I'm making fun of myself because I've done them all. Okay. I'm not saying you do or don't have to do, or you can or cannot do these things. I'm not making any more rules or laws. I'm just telling you, you don't have to. You don't have to. There's no one special place or special spot or special move you've got to do for Jesus, for his presence or his power to move. You don't have to do any of that stuff. It takes none of your human effort. Zero. When you do that, you put yourself back into the little prison where you feel like, if I don't pray for 12 hours today, because God told me this morning, if I don't pray for 12 hours, is the Holy Spirit's not going to move, the pastor's going to get a cramp, and you know, what am I going to do? We come up with all kinds of stuff. One time I thought I had to march around a certain number of seats so that it'd be filled with people. It never happened. I was mad. And then I figured out it wasn't up to my human effort. It was his work. And I'm just a steward of what he's doing. And I get to be along for the ride. And I get to pray and I get to seek him. And I pursue him for a relationship, Not a bunch of rules and laws and regulations. Those don't, they don't, are not real. Not, he isn't asking me to do a bunch of that kind of stuff. So his presence will move. No, listen, he is God. And his presence is always moving and doing what he wants, when he wants. And we get to pray to stay in relationship and connection with him to see how he is moving and where he is moving, to experience the joy and the goodness of his presence, to experience the love relationship and pleasure of the Father as he's pleased with what I do for him when he leads me. Oh. And then I get to see from the fruit of my labor, good things begin to be produced as I do my good works in faith, but not in human effort. Come on now. Right? I'm about to break a sweat. This is so good. So don't think, or don't let anybody cut in on you in your race. And this, there's this part in here that talks about that false teaching is like a yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. And I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachers. I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachers right now. But I'm telling you that a little bit of this type of human effort type thinking can draw you far away from the grace of God. And he says back here, he says in verse 4, he says, you know, that you've been cut off from Christ and you've fallen away from God's grace. That's like you've got your circular saw and you're trying to run it. It's like trying to cut a board. And you plug it in. Thing starts going. Yeah! And then you're like trying to cut your board. And poop, you pop the thing. And it stops working. You've fallen from grace. Power source. Plug it back in. Plug it back in. Stay plugged in. Just keep remembering it's not your effort. It's what he wants to do. It's not your human effort. Don't fall from grace. That doesn't mean I'm like, oh, I'm losing my salvation. No, I'm not tapping into the power source to see what God is already doing and be a part of what he's doing in me and through me. You with me? You're not falling away from Jesus. He's not talking about this. He's talking about the law and works and falling away from grace. You're like stopping to believe that it's all done by God, but it's now due by me, human effort. Let's rotate our sweet little prison. Another way that we can re-imprison ourselves is through sinful nature. Our sinful nature. We can put ourselves into prison through doing stupid stuff. Right? Galatians 5:13 says this, for you have been called to live in freedom. My brothers and sisters, don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. The Holy Spirit set us free. Then the Holy Spirit is also a power source to empower something. And it empowers the nature of God, not our sinful nature. There's no power from God to live this type of life. There's no plugging it in, right? You can't plug in sinful nature. That's your nature. That's our nature. It's Mark's nature. God bless America. Somebody help this guy. But listen, our sinful nature can be tremendous bondage. We give power to this thing. We go, oh, I'm just going to give into it. And we get ourselves back inside this prison, this sin nature prison. And we're in serious trouble. Listen, Galatians 6 says this. You can put that scripture up since I'm trapped in here. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. If you do sinful stuff, you get sinful fruit. Harvest sin berries, you get sin trees that produce sin berries. Help me with a better example.
Yeah. I can't. I'm the sinful nature.
You're the sinful nature. You got nothing. He's got nothing.
I got nothing.
He's got nothing. Please, church. It's not greasy, gray, slippery, sloppy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Sloppy agape, isn't that what they say? No, there's no sloppy agape. God is love. He's empowered you to live according to his nature. Awesome. Totally free. But Romans says this really awesome. You can read it between chapters 5 and 8. You should dig in there. It's meaty, meaty, meaty stuff. But talks about you don't have to live this way. You're no longer imprisoned here. You're set free. So if I truly am free, like Peter is out of the prison, I don't have to go back because God set Peter free out of the prison. God set you free out of the prison. He set me free out of the prison. I don't have to live to sinful nature. Sometimes I do. Will God punish me for that? No. You're like, what? God doesn't punish for sin? Praise the Lord. If he punished any of us for one, we'd all be in hell. Because none of us can fulfill the righteous acts of the law. None of us could do it, so Jesus did it for us. So we all get to live free. So you're like, well, Pastor, what are we going to do if sin doesn't send us to hell? We're going to go to heaven. We're going to live in his peace. And when we make mistakes, we enjoy the blessing of the forgiveness from our gracious God, whose love is so abundant that even our worst intentions can't stop it. So amazing. Thank God we don't have to live in prison. Galatians 5:1 says, you're set free. So now stay set free, right? Stay set free. Don't go back in here and be misled that your actions won't have consequences. They will have consequences. God's justice won't be mocked. You will reap what you sow. You're not going to be punished, but you will reap what you sow. And you'll be in bondage to your own actions. And that's no fun, and there's no life in that. You guys can go sit down. Thank you so much. I'll collect all of these, because you don't have to live to these anymore, Linda. No more human effort. You didn't do it anyway. It was me. Praise God. Right? Right, church? So then, how do I live? Or so let's do this. Galatians 5. You got Galatians 5. That's what you're putting up. Okay, great. What is important then? Galatians 5, verse 5 through 6. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith, not by works, by faith, the righteousness that God has promised to us, his righteousness, right standing with God, imputed, which means living in us because it was already existent, perfect, comes into us. His righteousness, we receive that by faith. We get righteousness not by anything we did, but because Jesus is perfect and he makes his home in us. So great. And he promised it to us, and we get to receive it by faith in Jesus. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You say, Pastor, what is important? What is important? It's your faith in Jesus, what he did, him setting you free, not falling from grace, staying in the grace of God, and allowing his love to be perfected inside of you, expand inside of you, and express itself to others. That's beautiful. So how do I then live set free? Galatians 5, verse 16. Or 13 through, what am I doing? I don't know. First 13, what do you have? 13, good. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy the sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve others in love, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. We're going to allow God's love, right? Boy, move this back. We're going to allow God's love to be expressed through us, right, in our faith. And then we're going to love our neighbors ourselves. And verse 16 says this. And this is how we live. How are you going to live according to the Spirit? So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Period. Stop. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life.
Don't make another big list of rules, and I'm going to pray this many hours a day, and I'm going to read my Bible this many times a day, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, so God's going to be pleased with me, and if I don't behave this way, then I'm going to be in trouble, and if I don't do this, then God's going to do that to me, and right? I just need to try harder, and I need to get myself in more prayer meetings and do more spiritual yoga in Jesus moves. No, you don't have to do all that stuff, right? Yoga might be good for your lower back, but you don't have to do it to encounter God, right? You don't. You probably won't. I say this. Paul says this. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. But the Spirit inside of you, Galatians 4 says, cry out, Abba, Father. Let it cry out, Abba, Father, and have a real relationship with a living God and not a bunch of rules. Don't allow yourself to be put back into prison. Stay set free. Will you stand with me, church? Stay set free. Live set free. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to Him. Build a relationship with Him. Listen to Him and live set free. You might say this, I want to live. I want to learn to live set free. God, renew my mind and my actions so I can learn to live in your rest daily. Help me to use my freedom to serve others, not because I have to, but because you love me and your love is being made perfect in me. And in my faith, I'm expressing your love to others. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We choose you today. God, we honor you with our lives. Help us to live set free. God, help us to live according to your love and your love relationship with us. God, I'm praying right now that you'll supernaturally renew the minds of your people today and they'll walk in your power and no longer take themselves back into their prison. Their prison, not yours, theirs. God, dismantle the prisons in our minds. Dismantle them now in Jesus' name. And God, we're praying, Abba, Father, that you will just open up this relationship, God, that you'll dismantle any of the things on my side that are holding us back, because I know there's nothing on your side, but God, dismantle these things on my side so I can have this intimate relationship with you. God, I'm praying that this church will walk in power and in your blessing, and I speak favor and blessing over them now, God, and that they will just live a life of love and freedom in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you need prayer, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask the care team just to come down and those on the prayer team to come down. And if you want prayer for healing, you want prayer for encouragement, you want to be set free, any of that kind of stuff, we want to pray for you. And so please make your way down and that'll be great. And then we're going to take communion. That's right. It's in my notes. Communion right here in the bottom. So, if we're living, I'm set free. I'm set free from my own failure here. So we're going to pass out communion, and we're not going to rush that. Sorry. We can bring the lights up just a little bit if we can. I don't know if you can go back to our regular set. That'd be fantastic. There you go. Awesome. Sorry, guys. I'm discombobulated because of that. Now you know it's live. Now you know it's not just programmed here. Nobody's telling me what to say in my ear. First, like that would be possible. Yeah. For I pass on to you what I have received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, He took the cup of wine and after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and His people and an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." So I want us to think about this, and I really love to do this during while we're talking so much about God's grace, and we're talking about the new covenant. And one of the reasons why I think we take this, not only does it symbolize the body of Jesus being broken for us and the blood of Christ being spilled for us to forgive all of our sins and then to seal it for eternity as a promise for us to live free and to be in relationship with God. It was everything that God needed to satisfy all of the sin. And so the coolest thing about it is that we take it inside of ourselves. We get to eat it up. And in us, it's Him in us. And we could have done, God could have done all kinds of things. We could have broken a chunk of wood and like spilled some wine on the ground in remembrance of Him. We could have done that. But He said, no, I want you to eat this bread. Me. Eat me. I want you to be in, I want me to be in you. I want to place myself inside of you. I want you to remember that I'm living inside of you. My covenant is alive in you. The grace of God is alive in you. I think that's an important reason why we take communion and it's in us. So we're going to do this, and this is very important that we just remember what Jesus did for us. And then He said His body was given for each one of us, and the bread represents His broken body for us. And so let's remember that Jesus died and He broke His body for us as we partake of the bread. Let's partake. Thank you, God. Thank you that you offered your life and your body up for us, a perfect life, and sacrificed it for us. Jesus, we honor you for that. We love you for that. We love you that you made your home in us. Thank you, God. And in the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this is the cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. So Jesus, remember the offering you made with your blood for us so we can be in relationship with you, the Father. And we just now, God, we honor you as we drink of the cup, and we thank you that this new covenant, this new relationship is living in us. Let's drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Can we worship Him for a moment? Just from your own lips. Jesus, I thank you. I love you. I love you that you placed me in a family with other believers, God, as we can just knit together and honor you and love you together. We're all united and we're one in you. We're one in Christ Jesus, all because of you, all because of what you have done, not what we do. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you that we get to live free in you, God. We love you, Father. Love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. All right, so now, God bless you, church. You're so beautiful. You're awesome. Thanks for being here today on Memorial Day. And if you have any prayer needs now, please come down. If you want to receive Jesus, you want prayer, you need just help. If you need food, there's food outside to the left down in the give and take. We'll also be open the give and take over in the other south part of our property. But please come receive prayer. Otherwise, be blessed. Enjoy your life in Christ this week. Live set free and stay set free. Amen.
And all eyes in the synagogue looked at Him intently. And then He began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Jesus, you are the long-awaited, the promised Messiah, the one who comes to set it right. And we are your people, the people of God, the people of the Messiah. The same Spirit is in us, your Spirit.